Hello, everybody. This is Gerald Celente, and it's Wednesday, December 4th, 2024. And once again, we're very proud, delighted, honored to have with us Judge Andrew Napolitano, a real man of men, what used to be called a patriot, someone that believes in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and what this country was founded upon, which is totally evaporated in front of our eyes. You know, thanks for being here, Judge.
It's a pleasure, Gerald. No matter what we're talking about, no matter how bad the times are, it's a pleasure to have a compatriot, personal friend, comparable, similar background, same aspirations, same beliefs in maximum individual liberty and peace and then minimal government. Yeah. So if I'm down a little, it's because of the events. It's not because of the person that I'm working with. Yeah, it's a delight.
Yeah, again, you know, that's what it was, peace and freedom, you know, for us to be who you want to be and don't tell me what to be and no wars. I mean, the destruction going on as the country's rotting in front of our eyes and all this money going to kill people all over the world. You know, it's just disgusting. But, Judge, you have an article here because this is important in the sense of it's news and it shows you the hypocrisy of what's going on. But you make a very different point of it. And that's Joe Biden pardoning his son. But the thing about it is that he bullshitted for so long that he said he's not going to pardon him. He's not going to pardon him when he was running for office. And then again, they're just lying pieces of scum. Like, and I pardoned him. Okay, go on. I pardoned him. Hey, I'm the president. I can pardon anybody I want. You know, so Judge, tell us about this.
Well, you know, the shocking thing is the American public's indifference to lying, Gerald, because it's so commonplace on the part of politicians. You know, he lied because at the time he believed he'd be running for re-election and he didn't want the pardon to be an issue. I'm sure he contemplated it from day one. I mean, what father wouldn't pardon their own son if the son didn't cause any palpable harm and there aren't any victims? I mean, the gun charge, he never fired the gun. They threw it out. They threw it into a dumpster. And the tax charge, by the time he walked into the courtroom, the taxes have been fully paid with penalties and with interest. Does the Congress have the authority to regulate guns under the Second Amendment? It doesn't. So my article is sort of a lesson in criminal law and constitutional law 101. What is a crime? Well, a crime is something prescribed by a legitimate authority where there's a victim and where there's harm, where there's no victim, where there's no harm, and where the authority doesn't, and where the government doesn't have the authority to make the behavior criminal, there is no crime. But I understand a lot of people are upset with it. The concept of pardoning is very imperial. Kings could pardon.
Yeah.
I mean, Madison put that in the Constitution, I think, because he realized some people would be improperly prosecuted, and the pardon power was the only way to rectify that. The first use of this was the Whiskey Rebellion in Western Pennsylvania in 1791. A bunch of farmers were making whiskey in their barns, and the federal government found out about it and imposed a tax on it, the tax just for them. They refused to pay the tax, and they used violence to repel the tax collector. They were arrested and prosecuted. Two were convicted of treason. How can failure to pay taxes be considered treason? This is how crazy the government was even then. They persuaded a judge and a jury that using violence against the tax collector was the moral equivalent of treason. After conviction, what happened to them? They were pardoned by George Washington.
Wow.
Because he believed that the prosecution was too overboard. So I'm not defending the pardon. I hope it generates a conversation about the proper role of Congress in American society. Can Congress make something a crime where there is no victim and there is no harm? The answer under the Constitution is no. But, you know, you and I both live and work with a lot of people who think that Joe Biden is one of the worst presidents in the modern era. I would liken him to George W. And a lot of people who think that the son's behavior is so sordid and disgusting and probably involved a financial benefit to the father that he shouldn't have been pardoned. Well, here's something to consider. Joe shot himself in the foot with the pardon. Here's why. If the son, Hunter, were dragged before the House Oversight Committee last week and asked, did you funnel money to your father from Burisma while he was vice president of the United States? His answer, I declined to answer under the rights accorded to me by the Fifth Amendment. If you asked him that question today, he has no Fifth Amendment rights. By accepting the pardon, he gave up his Fifth Amendment rights, and he would be forced to answer that question no matter who is inculpated.
You mentioned Burisma. Burisma Energy. This is after the United States overthrew the democratically elected government of Viktor Yanukovych in 2014.
Right.
Immediately after he was overthrown, all of a sudden, Hunter Biden, Chris Hines, who was the Hines family, Hines 57,
ketchup?
Yeah, but it was John Kerry's, married the Hines lady that married the Hines guy that died.
Oh, okay, okay. So this is John Kerry's ex-wife's new husband.
Right. John Kerry married the chick, and it was her son, Chris Hines, that also got on Burisma Energy.
Mm.
So now, and there was another guy, forgot his name. Three guys brought on to Burisma Energy, which was a corrupt energy company invented right after the overthrow of Yanukovych, and brought on to the board of directors of Burisma Energy. What the hell crap does Chris Hines and Hunter Biden know about energy? But they're on the board of directors.
Right.
And they made millions of dollars sitting on the board of directors. It's a crime syndicate.
Well, that crime syndicate cannot be prosecuted because the statute of limitations has run, but it can be exposed, and Hunter can be the instrument of the exposure. Now, if he asserts a Fifth Amendment right now, they'll take him before a federal judge who'll order him to answer. And if he still persists in not answering, he'll be incarcerated for up to 2 years. An incarceration that is not pardonable.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, like you said, but going back to this whole thing about Biden bullshitting for so long that, no, I'm not going to pardon him, I'm not going to pardon him, I'm not going to pardon him, then he pardons him.
Right.
And yet you make this is important because I want to read this from your article that will be out tomorrow. And again, everybody, you got to go to Judging Freedom. The people that Judge Napolitano has on, the interviews he does, you just did a great one with Roger Waters, and we'll talk about that later. But, you know, you go to Judging Freedom. Your article that's coming out, I suspect that the president has harbored these paternal thoughts even when he denied numerous times that he was planning to do so, meaning to not pardon his boy. We have come to expect lying in politicians. We have come to expect lying in politicians. What statement is that? We expect politicians to lie. They lie their way into office.
Yes.
One after another. Remember that Georgie Bush's daddy? He was going to, I'm not going to raise taxes or something like that.
Oh, you read my lips, no new taxes. And then he raised them. Right, yeah. Right, right.
You read my lips, swallow the crap spewing out of my mouth. And look who, just to show the corruption and disgustingness of this country, his little son, a little boy of nothing, becomes president of the United States. My daddy was George Bush. Oh, my grandfather was Prescott Bush. I'm a member of the team, the club. Brings us into the Iraq War, the Afghan War, lies us into both of them. And you just said it. We expect politicians to lie. Where is the outrage?
Well, there's outrage on the part of people like you and me, but there's no great public outrage because it's so expected. I mean, count the lies that Trump no doubt told in order to get elected. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out on January 21st if he was lying, because he made about 15 or 18 promises of what he would do on day one. We'll see if he does them. One of them is to end the war in Ukraine in 24 hours.
Well, that's not going to happen if Biden keeps doing what he's doing. And what did he just send? Some more dough to more weapons to keep?
Today, Biden released $725 million worth of military gear from our stockpiles, anti-personnel mines, drones, portable anti-aircraft missiles, which are useless, and portable anti-tank weapons, which are useless. I say useless because they're lightweight, they're portable. They can't reach the jets in the sky, and they can't reach the tanks on the ground. But the anti-personnel mines, which are illegal in 160 countries, are fatal not only to soldiers, but to babies who happen to step on them, babies as yet unborn 10 years from now. That's why they're illegal. So that's what's on its way over there now. That, of course, is more than what's on its way to Israel. Israel gets 3 cargo flights a day of this type of equipment, including 2,000-pound bombs. Ritter tells me the United States has run out of 2,000-pound bombs because they've all been given to Netanyahu and he's used them up.
Oh, the slaughter going on is just unconscionable. And there's hardly any reporting in the Western media of the slaughter going on and the genocide in front of everybody's eyes being committed. No. People starving to death, bombed to ruins with our bombs in Gaza, and just slaughtering these people. No outrage at all. None. And it just keeps going on. And now they have this phony ceasefire over there in Lebanon. What did they kill about 4,000 people in Lebanon already?
Yes. The ceasefire has been violated 120 times by the IDF so far. It's not a ceasefire. It was just a face-saving effort by Netanyahu to trick Hezbollah into backing up while he replenished the IDF and while they turned their guns on Syria, where there happened to be 1,000 American troops on the ground stealing oil.
Yep.
Or I should say it properly, protecting the theft of the oil.
And their United States claims that they're there because we're fighting ISISs. And who are the guys that just invaded Aleppo? Oh, the ISIS team that the United States supports.
Correct. And now funds.
And funds.
Yes.
The hypocrisy of this. And we have no right being there. Syria
CIA
no
has spent over a billion with a B dollars training rebels to fight President Assad. What business do we have being there? How does Syria pose a threat to the national security of the United States? We have no business being there because it poses no threat to the United States. It's just the deep state's desire for perpetual war, and it's the donor class's desire to continue to please the government of Israel.
And who is the war brought by? The Nobel Peace of Crap Prize winner, Barack Obama, 2011.
Correct.
Yep.
And his then Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, when he started the war to get rid of Assad, and he did the same thing with Gaddafi in Libya, most prosperous country in Africa, as you have pointed out, he used the CIA in both wars, because if he used the military under federal law, he'd have to notify Congress. but of the uses the CIA, which has its own private, secret, presidentially directed army, he doesn't have to tell anybody about it.
That's yeah, and again, we go back to the Libyan war. Even NATO got involved in that one. Remember that?
Yes, yes.
You know, Gaddafi, by the way, he warned that if you get rid of me, you're going to have a migrant crisis that you're not going to be able to handle in Europe because they're all flooding in through. Because what is Libya about that far away from Sicily, you know?
Yes.
And that's exactly what happened. And now they have the migrant crisis. Oh, and again, the Afghan war made things wonderful, too. A migrant crisis from that as well. So nobody talks about these kind of things. And again, going back to the before I forget this, the pardoning by the president, El Presidente could pardon anybody they want. And talking about corruption, how about Trump pardoning Jared Kushner's daddy?
And how about him appointing Jared Kushner's daddy ambassador to France?
Yeah.
You know, Jared Kushner's daddy was in a dispute over ownership of land with his brother-in-law. And he paid a prostitute to seduce the brother-in-law in a hotel room and filmed the acts of them together and then sent the film to his own sister in order to get the brother-in-law to sign a contract to sell the property to him. And then didn't pay taxes on the profits on the property. Chris Christie, no saint himself, was the chief federal prosecutor in New Jersey at the time. And prosecuted all of this. And Charles Kushner went to jail for 2 years.
Yeah.
Then Trump pardoned him. And now Trump is sending him to Paris.
I mean, this is disgusting.
Yes.
It's totally disgusting.
It is.
Oh, by the way, this is the Kushner family when Netanyahu came to America. Oh, he stayed with the Kushners.
In New Jersey, yes. Yeah.
Oh, and this is Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who's quoted as saying, you know, that land in Gaza is very valuable waterfront property.
I can't wait to develop it.
Yep. And we should take the Palestinians and push them into the Negev Desert.
Yes. Yes. I don't know how this is going to end, Gerald. I really don't. I mean, the United States and Israel and Great Britain are so isolated diplomatically, the whole world sees and acknowledges the slaughter that's going on. Sooner or later, some shoe has to drop. I don't know when or what it's going to be. Just over the weekend, a guy that's not known to the American public, Moshe Alon,
yeah,
former head of the IDF and former Israeli defense minister and a member of the Likud party, Prime Minister Netanyahu's party, said Netanyahu's a war criminal.
Yep.
So maybe the solidarity there is beginning to crack. This guy's no saint himself from the days when he ran the IDF. But for him to say something like that gives cover for a lot of others to say what they're thinking but are afraid to articulate.
We wrote about this, and by the way, in detail in this week's Trends Journal, exactly what you're saying.
I have the journal. I haven't seen it yet.
Yep, yep. You know, and going back to Biden, Netanyahu and Trump. This is from Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu thanked U.S. President-elect Donald Trump on yesterday, for his statement on releasing the captives in Gaza. Trump threatened on Monday that the Middle East would, quote, have hell to pay, end quote, if the captives held by the Palestinian factions in Gaza Strip were not released before his inauguration as U.S. president on 20 January. Trump said in a post on his Truth Social account, Truth Social, how about bullshit account, quote, but you said that, and I'm reading this because you said that everybody's except the United States, the UK, and probably Germany are disgusted with what Israel is doing, not according to Trump. This is quote, everybody is talking about the hostages, who are being held so violently, inhumanely, and against the will, you ready, of the entire world in the Middle East, but it's all talk, no action. He said, those responsible will be hit harder than anybody has been hit in the long and storied history of the United States of America. Release the hostages now.
What the hell is he talking about? Is he talking about an atomic bomb? Because that's what it would take to hit Hamas harder than anybody's ever been hit in the long and storied and despicable history that he's talking about. That would end up killing the hostages. It would also kill the people in Tel Aviv as well. What he said about the hostages sounds like he was talking about the 10,000 Palestinian hostages being held by Israel without charge, without prosecution, without conviction.
Exactly.
Some of them have been born in prison.
Not a word about that. And again, totally opposed to what Hamas did, the whole hostage thing. But again, understand exactly why it happened, because we wrote in the Trends Journal that when Netanyahu took office at the end of December 2022, the mainstream media called it an extreme right-wing government. Week after week after week after week, we were writing about the criminal acts that the Netanyahu government was committing against the Palestinian people in the West Bank and in Gaza. So when you retaliate against that, you're called a terrorist. Right. So you could kill anybody, all the Palestinians you want. You could kill all the Syrians you want. You could kill all the Lebanese you want. But don't fight back and kill an Israeli. They don't deserve to die. That's the attitude over here. And it goes on to say that Netanyahu said, quote, I want to thank President Trump for his strong statement yesterday. It was a very strong statement, which makes it clear that there is one party responsible for this situation, and that is Hamas. Hamas must release the hostages.
Sounds like nothing's going to change. Joe Biden gave, and the overwhelming majorities in both houses of Congress gave Netanyahu whatever he wants, and it sounds like that will continue. The slaughter and the genocide will continue. I don't know what will bring it to an end.
And then, again, according to Haaretz, Israeli constructing military bases in central Gaza.
Wow. Wow.
So they're going to take it over. And they're going to do everything.
Well, Gerald, we have to keep pounding away. The American public needs to know what's going on, as unpleasant as these truths are.
No, this is terrible. The suffering of these people that you're right in front of everybody's eyes, and there's no outrage. Again, how many standing ovations did these clown boys and girls in Congress give Netanyahu?
58 standing ovations in a 55-minute speech.
This is America.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is really terrible what's going on. And I think it's only going to continue to get worse. Were they bringing Netanyahu up on charges, right? He has to go to court soon.
He's being brought up on charges. He's being tried for corruption. And I believe he's scheduled to testify this week against his will, but he's going to be compelled to testify.
Yeah. So as I say, when all else fails, they take you to war. So watch him ramp this up. So that's out of the news. And correct. Again, going back to what preceded the Hamas October 7, 2023 attack, was there were 39 weeks of major protests going on in Israel prior to that because of Netanyahu's Judicial Reform Act that basically said, we're doing away with the court system. The politicians will be in charge, so I don't have to go to court.
Right. It never passed because the demonstrations were overwhelming.
Not only overwhelming, according to the words of Isaac Herzog, the president of Israel, quote, There's a civil war going on. It was a civil war. October 7th happened, all forgotten about. When all else fails, they take you to war.
You have practically copyrighted that phrase because it is so true.
Yeah. And so I believe that Netanyahu is going to ramp this up as he goes to court. And it's only going to be worse. And again, there is no outrage in this country about it. The mainstream media barely reports upon it. But again, when an Israeli hostage is killed, oh my God, how terrible. But you could keep slaughtering all those Palestinian hostages, rape them, do whatever you want to them. They don't count.
Can I add to what you just said? And we finance all of it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Judge, thank you so much for all that you do. And again, everybody, you want to go to Judging Freedom. The guests that Judge Napolitano has on and what he does for the spirit of the true American country that our founding fathers fought for is unparalleled.
Colonel McGregor on today, Gerald.
Oh, wow. Well, you have McGregor, you have Giraldi, you have Ritter, you have, again, you got to see the one with Roger Waters. Tell us a quick thing about Roger Waters, please.
Roger Waters was a deeply moving interview about courage and heroism. He is a staunch anti-war, pro-peace activist, and he makes his views known no matter the public consequences. I encourage anybody to watch this interview. It's a very different interview from any that I've done. I've done 3,500 interviews on the program in the past 3 years. This one with Waters was quite unique and very moving. We ran clips of his speech to the United Nations Security Council, which was profound. It's worth watching.
Again, very important too. Once upon a time, the musicians, the artists, they used to be out there protesting war and campaigning for peace. Hardly any of them out there speaking a word about peace. And Roger Waters is still doing it. It's so, again, we grew up during the Vietnam War. The reason there were so many protests is because guys our age were getting drafted.
Right, right.
But once the draft ended,
the protests about peace. Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Judge. We'll see
you next. Gerald. All the best to you and your viewers and your readers. We'll talk soon.
Thank you.